Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. Wow, we had an amazing week. I tell you, you would have to be there to understand. We were surrounded by sellouts. But nothing can stop a train unless you put on brakes. We still have not found Jessica Gray. The question is, where is Jessica? Who got Jessica? Was the blood, the puddle of blood that was found in front of Willie Lark Jr. house, was that blood Jessica Gray? It has been 3 months and 7 days. The Benton Township Police Department has refused to let the family know who DNA it was. They know nothing. And just recently, there was a shootout in Highland Project. A dog was shot by accident, and they put out a warrant for these guys immediately, not because they were shooting, because a dog was right in the middle of this. I'm talking about a D-O-G dog. But Jessica Gray is out there, and they refuse to look for her. They refuse to let the family know about the DNA. There is no excuse for this. But when you don't do that, you have a history I'm not doing anything. This is how they treat the people. I'm going to bypass the Benton Township Police Department and deal with the FBI on this. I know they won't overstep and go over Benton Township because they all work together. But maybe we can get something done with the news media. Maybe we can get something done with the news media. If the people take a stand, where is Jessica Gray? What happened to Jessica Gray? Several rounds of ammunition was found where we believe it was the scene of the crime. I believe she was shot. And I have no idea what they have done with Jessica. We're not crying and howling loud enough for these people. Sometimes you have to go out and take a bullet yourself in order to deal with this establishment, this evil, wicked empire. But I'm here to tell you that I will not rest until we find Jessica Gray. I will not rest until we find Jessica Gray. I have no idea where she is. When I was in Washington, D.C. this week, I had a conversation with several FBI agents, and I explained the story to them. they left me with the impression that they actually cared. But I was not fooled by them. The jury is still out on them. We'll find out in the next couple of weeks what we can do and what needs to be done and whether the FBI will step in. I hate to pay taxes to Benton Township Police Department. I hate it. I hate it because this is their history. They're willing to put out a nationwide alert for a guy who shot a dog, but refused to put out a nation call for a person who may have still been alive, but needed help. That's right. Benton Township Police, they get a thumbs down. And those of you who live in Benton Township, we are going to have to go out again and march on that police station. I probably will go to the city council meeting. I believe it's this Tuesday. If not this Tuesday, it's next Tuesday. I plan to be there and discuss with the board again. Nothing has been done or said. And they can't tell you there's no new information. You have the DNA. It got to be some new information. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What do we do to change the way these people think? I am King Jessica. And I had the opportunity during the week to do some research and get these people moving to find her and bring closure to the family, one way or the other. I'm sick and tired of these people doing whatever they want to do, and we sit back and say nothing until it happens to our family. Then we want everybody to drop what they're doing and go out and help them. That is not how this system operates. That is not how this system operates. We need your help. Those of you out here listening, some of you are listening from Benton Harbor, Michigan. We need your help. We need you to help us locate Jessica Gray. And we're appealing to law enforcement, which they don't give a rat's butt about us. They don't care about us. But we got to care about ourselves. It's more of us than them. We got to locate Jessica Gray. We got to bring Jessica Gray home. We got to make sure that the family get closure. And I'm willing to stand up and fight for her. There's a lot that we can do. But we have to want to do it. We cannot do it unless we actually want to do it. Let's bring Jessica Gray home. I am Team Jessica Gray. I will continue to talk about her every show until she is at home. I will talk about her and talk about her and talk about her until the law enforcement that is listening right now get blue in the face. Because we know who they are. We know who Prosecutor Mike Sepik is. These folks, they're natural racist people who don't care about black folks. But black folks have to care about black folks, you see. We don't need them to just go out here and just sugarcoat it and say, well, we have no information. You got some information, and you better be willing to share it. Because it's time that we took a stand and moved this thing to a whole different level. Also, before I close, let me say this. Occupy the PGA. Mass demonstration, May 23rd, 2020. We will be talking about Jessica Gray all day that day. We will be talking about Jessica Gray, May 23rd, starting at 10:30 a.m. at City Hall in Benton Harbor, all day on May 23rd. Let's bring Jessica home. Let's locate her. Let's find out who's the culprit behind it. Let's find out who did this. Let's find out who said this. But listen, I'm going to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. We're going to talk to her for a moment, and then we're going to bring in our special guest, Belinda Parker Brown. Are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney, how you doing today? I'm listening to you. You are 100% right, Pastor Pinckney.
Absolutely. We just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking. And I got a chance to go to Washington, D.C. And rub elbows with some people in authoritative position. And you know, they always listen. But that's all they normally do is listen. But at least you put it out there and to let them know that you know. And we're going to see what they're going to do. I spoke about Jessica Gray to, you know, not only to the FBI, but I talked to the staffing out team. I talked to Peters, Gary Peters, Senator Peters team. I talked to a lot of people to try to get them moving in the right. At least talk to the family. You don't even have to talk to me. I don't care nothing about you talking to me, but talk to the family.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, that's why, you know, I love you and I'm so proud of you. And I know many, many other people feel the same way I do, because you are that instrument that is a pursuit for justice. No matter what the price, no matter what the cost or the sacrifice, you're going to be there for the people, Pastor Pinckney. And we need more people like you. And I just, you know, I'm just elated that I've been trained by the best. And that, you know, I wouldn't have it no other way, you know. So, you know, me and my family is blessed just to have you and Dorothy a part of our life, you know, because I'm telling you, it's a lot that's going on across the country right now. And, you know, I'm down here in Louisiana and boots on the ground in the trenches, exposing the injustice in the criminal justice system and allowing victims to tell their stories. And when these victims tell their stories, what it does is that it exposes them, Pastor Pinckney, you know, expose their names, their faces, their relatives, where all the dots connect. And that's what they don't like, you know, when we call them out.
And you know what? And you are absolutely right. And I tell you, it's crucial that people understand this. My thing is that it's more of us than them. But yet they got us on the run. They got us on the run because people don't want to do nothing until something happens to them. If you sit around here waiting for something to happen to your family, it's too late. It's too late.
Yes.
You have to
and that's, you know, that's your strongest motto. And, you know, and I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, is, you know, we got to gang up on them like they've been ganging up on us. And when you say that it's more of us, it's more good people in this country than it is bad. And but it all boils down to is that we can't wait until something happens before we do something. So I know we got our special guest on the phone today, and I, you know, I really want to let people know that, you know, they don't have to be alone in a situation when they know things are wrong. You know, they need to join up with a powerful organization like Louisiana United, you know, Banco, the great work that you're doing there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, you know, networking with other organizations across the country, and, you know, to let people know that you can't, you know, you cannot go up against these powerful people all by yourself. You have to unite and connect and work with powerful grassroots organizations like ours, Pastor Pinckney, that is serious about getting justice.
Absolutely. And here's the good news. Anytime you can't be bought and sold, you can win.
You can win. But you got to fight. You got to fight, though. You can't give up. You can't tuck your tail and run. You know, like I tell them, if you're scared, Go join church, sit on the back row, get in the choir, do whatever you have to do. But if you're scared, you can't. You don't come messing around with us, Pastor Pickney. Okay?
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
My thing is that the only way you win is when you fight. When you fight, you
That's
win.
Right.
We can't lose,
That's
and
right.
we gang up on them like they've been ganging up on us. Okay? And then this is what happens. This is what happens, Pastor Pickney. That they can envision themselves, okay? I'm talking about the corrupt people, and they are out there. They can envision themselves. This is the message that we're sending to them, that they can envision themselves doing the perp walk in an orange jumpsuit. How about that?
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. There you go. I just love it.
Yes,
brother.
Indeed.
I just love it. And, you know, it's so
they can
amazing.
Keep on thinking they're going to get away with it, but eventually, this is what the end of the day, they're going to be doing the perp walk in an orange jumpsuit. Now, you can go ask Walter Reed, the lead district attorney, well, the former lead district attorney, because he's sitting behind prison bars right now, the sheriff, mm-hmm. Jack Strain, on his way to spend the rest of his life in prison for running a corrupt jail, okay, you know, and then the coroner, Peter Galvin, you know, that was all in cahoots with the district attorney and the sheriff, you know, and the judges and all of them, okay, they and wind himself up in jail and almost put his wife in jail right along with himself. So that's what we're talking about. That's what's going to happen, because eventually we will never give up, because we're going to fight, and we know if we fight, we win.
Amen. You sure said it. I remember the Godfather movie, Godfather 2, when Al Pacino told this guy Ross with the head, they was getting ready to make a deal in Cuba. And Michael told Ross, you know, these rebels can win. And he said, this guy sacrifice his life for the cause. He said, any time that you sacrifice your life for the cause, you can win. And they knew. And right after that, the rebels took over Cuba at that time. That was powerful, because if they hadn't took over Cuba afterwards, then what he said would almost be meaningless. But what he said, he saw it. He said that these rebels can win because they're willing to make the sacrifice. Listen, Belinda, on that note, I'm going to bring in the guest. Give me her last four digits.
Her last four digits, Pastor Pickney, is, hold on just one minute. I know we didn't get a chance to talk to her earlier, but the last four digits of her phone number is, wow, I should have had it written down. It's 0202.
Got you. All right, well, I'm gonna bring you back on so me and you can finish this conversation, because I'm enjoying it so much. But I got to bring in Lee, too, because, Lee got a story to tell that I've been saying all these years.
What you say?
All he did was verify exactly what, because people say, well, Pickney don't know what he's talking about. When I used to tell people about these guys have these dead bodies, and if you was a dope dealer or they wanted to send you to prison for the rest of their life, they'll give you one of these dead bodies. And then they also have a witness to come in and testify that they saw you kill this person, and you go to jail for the rest of your life, and it was happening, and people didn't believe it. And it's not just happening.
Wow.
It's happening all over the world.
Pastor Pickney, and you know, we have so many stories like that here in Louisiana, especially with the work that I've been doing. And we got, right now, we got young men sitting behind prison bars, have been given life, and they did not do the crime. And we actually know who committed the crime. So, you know, you're right. They won't believe us. But this Blog Talk Radio show, I hope you be able to spend some time with Lee and me on the phone, because, I'm telling you, me and this brother has been texting back and forth and following each other. But we are on to the whole systematic, the corrupt system that they are thinking they're going to get away with. But it's too late for them, Pastor Pickney. Like my grandmother say, they've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
There you go. All right, now I'm getting ready to bring on, and I will. You just hang with me. You hear? All right. That's my good friend Belinda Parker Brown. Okay. How you doing, my young lady? Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How you feeling?
I'm a little nervous, but I'm okay.
Well, you don't have to be nervous on the Pimp Me show, because we're going to walk you through this. Tell us a little bit about you. Give us your name and everything, and then you can go into, you can talk, here on this show, you can talk about whatever your heart desires. Nothing is too hard.
All right.
All right? You can let it loose, because you got friends on this show. And they're from around the world. All right, now, so talk to me.
My name is Brandy Stokes. I am currently a licensed attorney, although the Texas State Bar is trying to change that. As Belinda has told me, she thinks I'm a targeted individual. I guess that's what y'all call it, is a targeted individual or a targeted person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been targeted since probably about 2003. The backstory with me is I was in the military and I had a very sensitive security clearance. So I think when I was first targeted, I was targeted because of my security clearance. There are people interested in that. In 2006, I was forcibly medicated and interrogated about my military service in a VA hospital. I went 10 years with undiagnosed gallbladder disease because they were lying to me about what my problems were. I went probably at least 5 to 8 years with a tumor in my abdomen. They finally took those out when it got to the point that I was about to die. Sometime in about 2012, I finally started trying to go to the FBI to tell them what was going on, because I finally figured out that there was a problem here. And after that, it just got worse. They retaliated against me. They've harassed me. I've had death threats. Have had people trying to run me off the road. I've been in litigation since 2013. They took my child away from me. Now they're trying to take my license away from me. I've been told that I just need to kill myself. And currently, the situation has gotten pushed to the point that I currently have pending before the International Criminal Court a request for prosecution, and that I do believe actually gives them jurisdiction. And I'm fighting for my life in the federal court, asking for Geneva Convention's protection. And that's where I'm at. I mean, there's a lot of details I could tell you, but that's it in a nutshell. I mean,
yeah. Well, let me say this.
Veterans are treated like trash, by the way. Veterans are treated like trash here in Austin, Texas. They
absolutely
just throw us in the trash.
You know, I had a girl on my show. She was in the military. And she told the story how when they was in the military, how they sexually assaulted her on a continuous basis.
I did veterans law for a little while, and I've heard those stories. I think that they were doing that to traumatize them. There
mm-hmm.
seems to be some sort of movement in the military where unfriendly people have gotten into the military.
Mm-hmm.
Our military will let anybody in. You don't even have to be an American citizen to join the military. So the military for a while was infiltrated by foreigners, and they were not necessarily loyal to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's
what I think is happening there. I mean, it's certainly an attack on American soldiers.
Absolutely. But she was on my show, and this girl, she has, I don't know, maybe four different type of degrees and stuff. I think she was a high-ranking officer. And what happened with her, she was married, and they would bully her into having sex with other commanding officers. And first I thought to myself, no, this wouldn't happen, because why would they jeopardize of their career for something like this? And then the way she explained it, she took it to another level. She said, he's not going to tell on himself. And she said, also, there's nobody who's willing to sacrifice their career to tell on him. She said in her service, and she was a career person, and the way she was explaining it, the first thing I said, and me and her became good friends. Matter of fact, we're good friends right now. She was a target individual, and they had targeted her, and she would also describe that the Catholic Church. She said some of the things that you know that you think you know, especially about religion, you don't know. She said some of these people that this happened to in the service. See, a lot of stuff is kept undercover. You know, if you know what happens in, like they say in Vegas, stays in Vegas. What happened in the service stays in the service. They don't, you know, they don't expose people. And I have heard a lot of stories about people who was in the service, who actually was in the service, that are now a target individual, as we call. They have changed the name now, and y'all have to forgive me, my target individual friends. I forgot the name that y'all want to use now, whatever it is. But I got to go by what I know. I that's what I know. But in your case, I got this young man, and that I would like for you to contact. I'll have him on so you can hear what he has to say about different things. I got this Ali. Her name is Ali. She's out of San Francisco. No, she's out of Richmond, California. And she's going to be on next week, and she's going to talk about her experience and how she do. But here's what she have done. She have done something incredible. She went to the Richmond City Council and got them to put a resolution on the table, which is incredible. I mean, most of the time when, you know, you know about this stuff, but you do not want to get involved, especially if you're part of the evil empire. And this is what I do know. But she's going to be on next week, and I'm hoping that you can, you know, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your situation so we can connect all the dots. And I think that would be more important than anything else.
Well, one of the things I will tell you is over the years, anyone who has tried to help me who depended on grant money has lost their funding. So whoever's doing this to me, it's coming from a pretty high level. I've had two daycares get shut down because they tried to help me and my daughter. They both lost their funding. I mean, that's pretty serious. I mean, and it was in close, both of them was in close proximity, and there was also those types of threats, so I'm pretty sure it's related. There were two more that lost some funding, but, you know, managed to hang on. That's the kind of stuff I'm dealing with. No one will hire me. I'm about to lose my house. I'm barely able to survive. No one will hire me. Anyone that even so much as talks to me in town gets, you know, mistreated. I don't understand why it's so severe. The only thing I can think of is this request for prosecution. Potentially a lot of people could be prosecuted under it. That's the only thing I can think of, because it's gotten to the point that it's so severe that I'm shunned by everyone in town here. I don't understand it. You know, if you had told me 20 years ago that this is how my life would end up being, I would have laughed. I would have said, no way. But it's like something out of Nazi Germany. And it's not just me, by the way. I get it pretty badly because I advocate, and, you know, I'm trying to get other people to file their Geneva Convention claims. And, you know, I'm out there a little bit more than other people. But there are other people in town who have had to deal with this as well. And it is just, it's just unbelievable what they have to go through. We have mothers that are in jail because they kept their kid, you know, a little bit past the exchange time. We have fathers who keep their kids for 6-8 months past the exchange time, won't let the mother see them. They get nothing. We just had elections, and our district attorney was preliminarily voted out. I will say that. They're going to have a runoff. They're going to have a runoff, I guess, probably in the next month or so. And I pray that they go ahead and vote her out, because the main reason they were voting her out is because she was refusing to prosecute rape. And she was prosecuting mothers for kidnapping, you know, if they kept their kid past a court order, and ignoring it when the fathers do it. So there appears also to be some sort of, like, gender discrimination going on here at a very extreme level. I don't understand that.
Mm.
I don't know. Have y'all seen that somewhere? I don't understand that. We have mothers here that are, their mothers here are treated like trash. In the court system here in Travis County, they're treated like trash.
Well, you know what? You know that man, you know, that manhood, that man bond that they have, and they, you know, actually they think very little of women, because you know one of the things that I have learned is that, you know, after speaking to my friend, and when she was telling me, like telling the story about what happened in the United States Army, I was in total shock. And do you get gang stalking and all any of that kind of stuff?
I have experienced gang stalking. When I saw that, Belinda brought that to my attention, and I have experienced that. People for years have followed me, and my mom's experienced it too. And for a long time, she didn't tell me about it. And when she finally told me about it, I said, that's exactly what I've been dealing with. I mean, they've gone after my family. I have a cousin that I'm not going to say where he works, but he works somewhere here in Texas. And he was working the late shift. Someone came and drove their car. He was working at a gas station. Someone came and drove their car up to the gas station, got out of the car, walked around to the front, and threw a Molotov bomb into the car and blew the car up right there at the gas station, almost caught the tank on fire. I mean, that's the kind of stuff my family's been dealing with. It's not a little bit. I've had two clients be shot at. I mean, it's not a little bit. I mean, I think we're on the verge of a war. I mean, if you want to know the truth,
I think it's
kind of to the point that war is about to break out.
Oh,
but what do you do? You know, I mean,
well,
what can we do?
One thing
I don't know what to do about it.
You better get prepared. That's the number one thing. If you believe for one second that war is about to break out, you better be prepared. And this is what I'm telling folks now. You know, save your bullets. You're about to get in a total conflict that maybe you can't win, but at least you can fight. And here's the thing that always gets me. When I talk with my target individual friends, I always tell them, get yourself prepared, because you're fighting a monster. You're fighting the United States government. They got the most powerful army there is in the world. And some of this is what they're trying to create. They're trying to intimidate people, scare people, and do everything they can to destroy you and your family. You see, everybody's expendable. This is what people don't quite get. Even this guy Trump, he's expendable. He's expendable. People don't know that, but even Obama, when he was president, he was expendable. Everybody is expendable. You got a United States government inside the government. You got these, and here's another thing you got to look out for. These universities, they are receiving grant money to experiment on people around the community. And people don't know that, but the universities
don't. That's another thing that came up in my case. I don't really know how much I want to talk about that on the air, but
just talk about what you want to talk about.
Well, you know, one of the things I was trying to report to the FBI was something very similar to that. I don't know if you realize this, but what they found is one of the researchers out of Boston, they questioned her. I guess Customs had seen an anomaly in something on her paperwork, and they questioned her. She had been doing research in Boston for 2 years. Come to find out, she admitted that to being a lieutenant in the Chinese military. So the Chinese military has infiltrated our university.
Oh,
and that was one of the things I was trying to report when I started being retaliated against, because I have evidence regarding that. I mean, I knew about that before it hit the news, but apparently it hit the news now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, if you want to know, you know, why it's gotten so hostile because some of these people that are they're presenting themselves as students, or they're presenting themselves as, you know, military. But if you look at their background, they're actually from another country. And in some instances, they're actually in the military in China, and they're over here undercover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's scary, but that's true. You can look that. I think that one's in the Washington Times.
Or
the Washington Post.
The,
it was something like that. It was in one of the major news outlets.
Absolutely. Do you remember when Cuba, they was complaining about their hearing when it was done by microwave or laser, whatever it was done by.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes, and that,
yeah,
that actually happened.
That? Right.
They were
and
damaging.
Definitely...
And also, they're also, this has also been in the news. China has been shooting at our military with lasers. I mean, we've
right.
got shots fired now between the United States and China.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's, I mean, they're doing it with lasers, but that's still shots fired.
Oh, absolutely. That's an act of war. And but they don't want to tangle too much with China, because if they tangle with China, Russia is definitely going to help China overthrow this country. You see, so they so you're talking about something that's going to end the world most likely, or as we know it, is going to end it. So we got to be prepared more mentally. This is why I tell people every single day, you know, every single person that's spendable, live your life. Do what you have to do, because they're coming after you. You see, did you remember when the Iraqi army that they had to, that was the greatest fighting army around that whole region? That was Hassan army. They called them something, the capital. I can't remember what it was. But do you remember when they went to war with the United States of America? They just dropped their guns and refused to fight. Do you remember that?
I remember some of that. Some of them were happy that we were there, and then some of them were probably just scared.
But not the army, though. This army is they fighting to death. They don't, you know, their job. Once you become part of this army, you fight until death. There's no such thing as surrendering. And this whole army surrendered. A whole army. I could see maybe half of them. But you'll never get a whole, and these are fighting machines. These like something that you create. Their job is to die. That's what they do. That's why you see guys putting on these armors and suicide bombers. The this army that the Iraq had, they was put in this army, and they had made a commitment that they would die. That's what they did supposed to do. But they surrendered. They dropped everything. But look, this is what I want to tell you. You got 3 minutes to talk to me. I want to get you back on this so you can talk. When you really want to let it go, you're welcome. But you got 3 minutes to tell us what you want. Then I got to move on. But I tell you, all my target individual friends, we are at war. This is no conflict. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming.
Well,
so
on that note... On that note, I'm trying to get Geneva Conventions protection, and if I can get it for me, other people can get it for themselves.
Absolutely.
If your listeners can do anything to help, the one thing they can do, especially if they're veterans in the military, if they've mm-hmm. been a victim of any kind of abuse, if they've been a victim of medical abuse, if they've been targeted, if they've been stalked, even if they've just been mistreated in the court system, even if, you know, the cops have given them more tickets than anybody else in town, any kind of mistreatment, write an affidavit, send it to Belinda, and Belinda can send it to me, or I can talk to Belinda and maybe we can work out a way that, you know, that she can get them to me. If they will send affidavits to me about what's happened to them, I will file them in the federal court.
Very
my
good.
Case where I'm asking for Geneva Conventions yeah. protection. So the courts will know. It's not just me. I mean, they know.
Right.
They know already.
Yeah, they know.
But we
yeah,
want to make sure
know.
Put it in black and white. Put it in black and white. This is what happened to like 10,000 different people. You know, however mm-hmm. many people is willing to do it. You don't have to tell your whole story in a 10-pager. Just a 1-pager, just, you know, say I've been a victim of medical abuse, or I've been stalked, or I've been, you know, mistreated this way or that way, and I'm willing to testify and sign the affidavit and send it.
There you go.
And I will file it. Let the court know. At least
good.
They can't say they didn't know. I mean, that's the main thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You know,
thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to tell my story.
And let me say this to you too, because I think it's important that, you know, you we get folks to come and do these things, because there's power in numbers. And I always tell people that they're always, when you dealing, don't try to do things by yourself. Because if you do it by yourself, believe me, they will destroy you. But if you do it in a group, you can win. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I really love the idea. anytime that you know anybody who's been targeted by this government, they are welcome to come on my show. Matter of fact, I moved a couple of people to next week because of you, because I want to hear your story, and I want you to tell it. And we're gonna make something happen. You can almost bet your life that we will. And on that note, I will talk to you very soon. And listen,
thank you,
let's
sir.
Get to go. All right, you
okay,
have a great
thank
day.
You.
All right.
You too.
Amen. Amen. You know, we always talk about what they won't do. They will do anything. I'm telling you, you are expendable, whether you like it or not. You know, they will do anything. They will lie, cheat, kill, and they will destroy your whole family if they can. We are at war. You better get ready for it. You know, I mean, it's almost ridiculous living in a place. And look, here's the thing: they will lie directly to your face. They don't have no. I'm gonna tell you this quick thing. In the Senate House on Thursday, I go to the Senate House, and all while we're there, I'm talking about these Republicans don't have no morals. I'm making jokes and stuff like that. I'm just having a good time. Because I pass a Republican office. I said, I want to write on the window, no morals. And I'm just talking. I go to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom washing my hands, minding my own business. This guy walks up and wants to talk with me. And he started a conversation. And then I broke off a deuce on him. I said, I don't even see how Republicans can go home and face their family because they have no morals and they are a bunch of liars. I said it just like that. And I started laughing, and then he said, I'm a Republican. And I said, okay. And then on the hill, I guess he must have told somebody, because I was telling my group what happened, and it started boomeranging. Everybody went up, and I laughed, and I said, all this time, this whole day, I just wanted to say that. And I get a chance to say it to somebody, and it spreads all over. They call it HART, the HART building, HART. And Deborah Stepanog and Gary Peters and all them was in there, was in the building. And I'm going around telling people that these lying dogs don't have no scruples. And I get a chance to tell somebody, and then he goes tell everybody in the building that I had said that. I thought that was hilarious. Anyway, on that note, let me bring in my good friend Lee. He's the real deal. And you people out there better listen to this. I know that y'all don't believe stuff like this happens, but believe me that these people will do anything. That's right. They will do anything. They will kill you if necessary. You can sit here and talk about this will never happen to you and all this coming. This is what I hear from people. Oh, it'll never happen to me. Oh, yes, it will. It will to you. These folks have no scruples, no morals, no nothing. They just a bunch of slime balls, scumbags that, you know, that exist. And they're basically gatekeepers. That's all they are. They're, you know, when they start eliminating people, they're going to eliminate them too. And here's something you can put this in your back pocket. This is important. That virus that they're talking about, the coronavirus, the United States of America is behind this. They are the ones behind this. And they got people here in this country who are going to die. They're expecting 53 million people to die from this. They're expecting this. Well, my thing, if you got something for me, bring it on. You're not going to scare me. You're not going to intimidate me. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to let God do what he do. And on that note, I got to bring in the man of the hour, the man who's been telling the truth all along, and all my listeners, you know, I even had people say, they wouldn't do that. They don't do that. They don't go around killing people. They don't hire people to kill people. They do it all over the country, listeners. They do it. Whether you want to accept it or not, they do it. In every single black city, they got black folks out here killing black folks and being paid or being shielded. Talk to me, Lee. Talk to me. Tell me about what's
going on. How
you
doing, Reverend Pinkley? How you doing?
Man, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You know? I'm excited to talk to you. Because when you see that article in the, that was in the newspaper, and we know the newspaper lied, but they ain't going to allow these. They're not going to allow law enforcement. They're allowing me and you. But they is not going to rely on law enforcement. I'm going to tell you that. This guy had committed
six
murders.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah. They had, this guy
but you know, he was actually a part of that same group I've been telling you about. We just never knew his real name. His street name was KB. But we never
KB.
Knew what his real name was until
so
the article came out. And
The killer name was KB.
Yeah, the killer, the informant.
Yeah,
that was his street name.
Well, call him what he is, a killer. He's a killer.
He's without a doubt a killer.
Yeah. And all that time you tell us about it, you know, people.
I've been telling
since
last year. I've been telling you. I've been kept talking. And now it's slowly all starting to come out. And then when I sent you and Sister Belinda Parker Brown the other articles, you see when they killed the boy after he done dropped his son off in school, he never had a chance to pull away from this elementary school. And you see the description they gave in the news, the chief of police gave of the shooter. Well, how was I able to go on Facebook and pull this guy picture up? Wearing the exact same clothes and everything.
And then right
after that, after he did they dirty work, that's when I sent you the other news article. Like, here you go, right here. They killed him and threw him in the trunk of a car.
Yeah.
See, they don't get caught with their pants down. And one of the things that I know they realizing is, man, whoever upsetted this guy, y'all done pissed him off. Because he
really
done pulled up everything. See, the thing is, they tried to back me into a corner. The thing is, some people are back into the corner and fold. Me, you back me into the corner, I'm coming out fighting harder. You're going to have to go ahead and just take me out because I'm coming back fighting harder than I have ever fought. Now, they realizing that I done found the timeline and everything, and it's going to shock you because even some of their own family members, even in one guy's situation, his own mother and father is willing to talk. So now everybody is talking. But you see, after he done did they dirty work and he felt he was secured with them, they killed him. They stalked the other guy before they actually killed him in front of the school. They shot him. Oh, I got some more to send you on other incidents where they done stalked him. But they, see, what they do is this. They use a group of females. And I never forget because the guy used to be like, man, my baby mama got some females, her homegirls following me around. What he never knew was that I ended up finding out later on was, no, your baby mama didn't have that done. That was these guys had these females following you around so they can find out where you was at to kill you. That's what they were doing. And they just happened to finally catch him. Like, the one time, it's another article where they shot at him, like, 90-something times at a BP gas station. 90-something rounds was let off at a BP gas station on Fort and Schaefer. And the sad thing about it, that, you know, well, it's a good thing, but I just try to tell him, like, listen, man, you need to get up out of here. They only hit him in his ankle, but then they finally caught him. Yes, after 90-something shots.
Yeah,
but they done did it again to another guy, and they end up killing an innocent guy coming out the gas station.
Yeah.
Well, so
you know,
it's so much.
Let me say this to you, Lee, too. He killed a white guy, too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, they did that one in Del Rey when they shot this one guy. They were trying to kill a guy named Stevie, all right? When they was trying to kill him, in the process of trying to kill Stevie, they were shooting up the house. This is when they came over there on four-wheelers and did this one. This was in the Delray neighborhood of Southwest Detroit. When mm-hmm. they tried to kill him, the white guy was just an innocent bystander, but he was the one that ended up getting killed.
Getting killed. Yeah.
Yes. So this is and he ain't the only white person that died in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these bodies that I'm then telling you about with this group goes back to the 90s.
Wow.
They go from the 90s up to the 2000s. Now, if the government is really paying attention like they're supposed to, they'll realize it's real odd that mysteriously all these guys are burning their houses up, filing false insurance claims, and getting up out of the neighborhood because they know I'm listed to go to trial. And they didn't give me a trial date. So I guess the government like, look, we're going to give y'all enough time to get up out of here because y'all in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The situation with the chief of police, if you pay attention to the reason I sent you that on that, because if you pay attention to what the witness said, she said, it's real odd that it would happen across the street from the chief house. She was low-key telling them the guy across the street was trying to kill another guy, and he shot up the chief of police house, who is one of their top informants. So while in the process of their top informant trying to kill another guy, he shoot up the chief of police house. That's why I sent that one article. Because she said it, and they ain't even catch on to it. It's like, how did y'all not catch on to this? And I can catch on to it as plain as day. She's telling you low key.
Yeah.
In a, but they kind of cut the article off with her. You notice that? She was saying it's real odd that this had happened across the street from the chief house. So if the chief ain't safe, I'm not safe.
Right. And who would have enough nerves to go out and attack the chief house with all his guns? All you know what I'm saying about his all his men's with guns. Who would have enough nerve to do something like that?
Somebody that's protected by the police.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the only person that had the balls to do that. I mean, and then in the process, now this is going to shock you again. In the process, after they done killed the one boy, after he done did their dirty work, some of the guys was upset who helped set him up. That they didn't get paid what they were supposed to get paid. That's when the double murder happened on Beard Street.
Okay.
See, this was all the murders, the same gang. The same group of guys.
Yeah.
This is the exact same group of guys. These are not different groups. This is one group of people. All them articles that I sent you, even the news reports.
Let me say this. Can you tell these people, my listeners, where they can find this article so they won't think that you just mouth? See, I tell them where to find it. Then I got something I want to say, which is I think is important. Go tell people right now where they can find this article about this guy, KB. Talk to them. Tell them.
KB? Okay, King Yale Brown. All you got to do is say, look, put in the Google search, King Yale Brown.
Spell it.
Serial killer out of Detroit who was freed by the federal government. And K-E-N-Y-E-L, last name Brown. Now, he was one of the informants out of the same group. These are not different people, a different group of people I'm talking about.
Right.
All
of
these people. And then when you go on, you can go in YouTube. And look up, last week I actually said his last name wrong, but it was Keenan Beard. Now, Keenan Beard was the one murdered outside after dropping his 5-year-old son off at school.
Okay.
You see the description they gave of the guy. And you seen the picture I sent right to you, which was the guy that they described as the shooter.
Absolutely.
Then right after that, you look up Ashton Butler. Body found in the trunk of car in Southwest Detroit. See, this is all Southwest Detroit. In that area, Southwest Detroit, River Ridge, and E-Course is literally like, if you're driving up Visiker Street, heading southbound on Visiker Street, as soon as you cross over Bassett, To your left is River Ridge. To your right is Ecorse. So all three cities is connected right there. They're all these guys run within that whole area.
Wow.
Okay. Now the other situation was, you look up Murder on Beard Street in Southwest Detroit. See, this is all Southwest Detroit stuff.
Yeah.
And these guys was a group of informants, and they're all working together, but they're out here killing people. When I tell you, you've seen it for yourself with just what I was sending you to show you the proof. Like, it's one thing me saying it, but when I actually get to sending it to you, I know you was like, unbelievable.
You know? I could not believe
and
what
this
the,
is. Like
but
I said, again,
I,
about,
but here's the thing. I believe this stuff because I knew it was happening. All you did was gave me validity, saying that, you know, that, hey, this is what happened. And now everything I've been saying all these years has now came and people can actually see it.
Yes, now it's all coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
See, the police help these guys wage war against whoever they dislike. So one of the things that they upset about in my situation is this. You guys, all these other guys, they didn't know as much information on you guys as this guy do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you only knew how many people were sitting in state and federal prison right now and how many people is dead off this one group. We're not talking about different groups in Detroit. We're talking about one particular group.
And there's more than one. It's at least maybe even 10 groups.
Oh, yeah, it's other groups, without doubt. There's other groups because they don't just got them in Southwest Detroit. They got them on the east side. They got them on the west side. They're all through Detroit. There's different groups of them.
Absolutely.
But this one particular group is all this that I done pulled up. We talking about, I mean, I say 10 to 15 murders, but I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's even more than that.
Oh, ain't no question about that.
We're going close to 20 bodies.
Mm-hmm. Man, and that's just on the southwest side of Detroit. Think about that.
Yeah, that's just southwest Detroit.
Right, absolutely.
We ain't even talking about the east, west, or the north end, Highland Park, and all the other stuff. We just talking about southwest Detroit. We talking about 10 to 15.
And then a lot of the unsolved, and they use these bodies to give to people. And then they have this informant come in and testify that he was an eyewitness to this person killing them, even though the guy.
Yeah, because the informant knows exactly how the guy got killed because he's the one who did it.
Yeah.
So of course he knows how it happened.
Yeah, he knows exactly how it happened, and then he has someone to come in and testify and say that they was an eyewitness to the shooting. And this person get life without the possibility of parole, and he spends the rest of his life in prison. And nobody said nothing.
That's the thing why they want to stop me from the trial.
Absolutely.
Because like I told you, they've been trying to stop everything. I mean, they didn't even came up with lies. Like I told you, they didn't even told. When I said, no, I want a trial. I'm not taking no deal. Y'all want to battle me? We're going to go all the way with this. That's when the situation came. Send him to see a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
I say, wow, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life.
And they want the psychiatrist to dirty you up. Now you got.
Oh yeah, but see, he even fumbled. He fumbled himself because when he went and said something to the other psychiatrist and put the same stuff in the report, like, oh, he was acting, he wasn't keeping proper decor and everything in the courtroom. He was doing this. So the other one, I said, when he said, well, is you willing to sign a release so I could talk to your attorney? I say, gladly. So as soon as he did that and contacted my attorney, thank you very much. Now you just confirmed what I've been saying this whole time. So I'm glad you did that. And when I went back to the other psychiatrist, cause I'm like, dude, why am I seeing four different psychiatrists? And I'm fighting a criminal case, supposedly.
Yeah.
I thought I was fighting a criminal case. I ain't never seen this in my life.
Mm.
But
and you
the
know,
thing is,
but here's what they don't know, the people don't know, what's happening to you and what's happening in Southwest Detroit. It's happening on the west side of Detroit,
all over Detroit. And here's the thing, all over Chicago. You see, a lot of people they don't tie these things together. You see, it's all and here's the thing that most people believe cops. When cops say something, I found out about them. I didn't find out about them until 1995. You see. Mm. And that's when I started court watching, trying to figure out why are these people lying for no reason. Let the evidence speak for itself. And then they can make up evidence. You see what I'm saying?
This is
what I've been trying to tell folks. They can make up evidence because these people are just that dirty and rotten. They're
you know
rotten
what? It's
poor.
Not to cut you off, but let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. This is going to shock you. As soon as I got the discovery, right?
Uh-huh.
As soon as my attorney said the discovery came in, I said, I need a copy of it. He's like, mm-hmm. You know, most people, I say, no, I need a copy of it because I want to read their investigation. As soon as I read their investigation, and they was trying to dirty up a story to make it look appealing to the
mm-hmm.
court.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so you guys said I was driving this vehicle from this time to this time. Well, how is that possible if I got a receipt from a shop that shows my vehicle was in this shop for like 2.5 weeks during
mm-hmm.
the time you said that I was driving it around doing drug transactions?
Yeah.
I never even had this vehicle. The vehicle was in the shop, and the shop owners is willing to come to court and testify like, no, we had your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, another time I went to my brother's house, pulled up in the back of his house, sold him drugs. I say, well, how is that possible if my brother is on a federal GPS tether killer house? His wife
mm-hmm.
wasn't even at the house. She was on a cruise. So my brother was all the way on the west side, living by 7 Mile with my sister. This is
uh-huh.
in Southwest Detroit. Y'all saying that I went to this man's house and sold him drugs. How is that possible?
Mm.
And his wife was like, no, I'll come testify because you wasn't nowhere near my house. I wasn't even at my house. Neither was your brother. And if your brother was
wow.
at the house, the government pretrial services would have pinged on his GPS tether that was connected to his leg. So how is that possible for them to say that you was at the house selling drugs to him? So what they know is they went before that federal grand jury and they fumbled because they didn't think I was going to fight.
Mm,
that's where they fumbled.
There you go. And
they
you know
think,
what?
So now they know we all messed up. Even the psychiatrist
Absolutely.
Realized I'd have messed up too because he looked at me like, I swear I wish he would have never called your attorney. I said, well, I'm very happy he did call my attorney.
You're right. Absolutely.
I said, because now it ain't just me saying it. My attorney is aware of it because he talked to the doctor himself.
Yeah.
It's one thing
absolutely.
I'm just saying it, but it's another thing with somebody else verifying what I'm saying.
Wow. Hey, listen, we have just ran out of time, but I just want people to know what is going on in these United States of America. Not only is this happening in Detroit, Michigan, it's happening in Chicago, Indianapolis, Indiana. It's happening all over. They got paid informants killing people. That's right, killing people. And they are using these people, and they're making money off of killing people. It's all over the country. And this is why it looks like all these people is killing so many people. They infiltrate the gangs. These are just paid informers. But look, on this note, I want to say this. May 23rd, 2020. Lee, I hope you can come down on May 23rd to Benton Harbor. I would love to have you there, and I'd love to have you tell your story. And so people can, and we should have quite a few people there. I don't know how many we're. I'm hoping for 1,000, but we don't know. If I get 100, I'm happy. But I want to make sure that you be there. Put that on your calendar, May 23rd, 10 a.m.
I most definitely will.
At Benton Harbor City Hall. And I want you to tell that story. Tell them about this guy so these people can know, because these people just don't get it. They don't understand that these people have been like this. And being a target individual, people don't get it. You know, you're expendable. They don't care nothing about you. That's why you have to ride in a group. You can't do this as an individual. You got to have protection. And protection is strength and my brother Lee. I got to let y'all go. And thank you so much. Beautiful story. I couldn't wait for people to hear it so they can understand how serious this is. And listen, I will talk to you very soon. Thank you.